It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. It's World AIDS Day, and the devastation the disease has caused around the globe is sobering and grim. But as we learned in the previous segment, there is cause for quite a bit of hope as education and new advancements in medicine help those infected live healthier lives.
And until a cure is found, preventing the disease from spreading continues to be of paramount importance. One way to do that is by using a condom during sexual activity. That's easier said than done, though, for all kinds of reasons, social, religious, political, and even logistical. But it was a surprise delivery of 1.2 million French condoms that got Milwaukee artist Nikki Johnson thinking about innovative ways to talk about intimacy. And the group exhibit called Preservatif, which opens this afternoon, was the result.
We'll be talking with Johnson just a bit later, but first we'll speak with Claire Hannon of Milwaukee Magazine, who profiled the Preservatif project in the December issue. Hi, Claire. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So this has to be one of the more unusual artistic exhibitions that's happened in Milwaukee. Preservatif, that is a French word for?
Condoms. And that's the basis of the show. And it's a raw material, if you will, that was used in most, if not all, of the works in this exhibition.
Which is opening up today. And Nikki Johnson is the person that kind of got this all going. She was offered these condoms, is that correct?
Yes. This company had heard of her. It's called the Original Condom Company. They heard of her after her installation, Eggs Benedict, took off internationally. And Eggs Benedict was a portrait of the Pope Emeritus Benedict made of condoms. So they emailed her and they said, "We've got these extra condoms. Would you like them?" Now, these are not just any condoms. They are luxury condoms. So she first reached out to these sexual health organizations and said, "Would you like them? You know, they'd be way more useful to you." But unfortunately, these condoms were set to expire and the nonprofits didn't have enough time to figure out the logistics to get the condoms over here.
So she had to make art with them.
Yes.
How do you explain that through customs?
I don't know. She described it as a semi-truck full of them, and you can only imagine signing the UPS papers on those.
Exactly.
So she and another artist, Kim Hindman, reached out to many artists and asked for proposals to turn this into a group show. And all of the artists were allowed to use as many condoms as they needed to, with the theme of the show kind of being sexual health and awareness about that, and also kind of making sure that it's a more comfortable conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah, all jokes aside, this is a very serious thing that they're trying to do with this very sort of cheeky exhibition.
Yes.
And even looking at some of the photos of the clothing that were made, I mean, they're really quite beautiful.
Yeah, I was shocked, actually, to see some of Linda Marcus's designs. But there are also some more traditional installation pieces beyond fashion. There's a rug that's woven with all of the things you would find in a bedroom, including condoms and underwear and hair and sheets. Each artist was allowed to interpret sexual health and intimacy in their own way and translate it into their own medium. And the results are just spectacular.
They use the wrappers as well, right?
They did. These are not your standard drugstore condoms. They came in these boxes that almost look like jewelry boxes, I believe. And then within the box was a suede pouch. And also some instructions, some paper with instructions on them. Yeah, I mean, these were the Cadillac of condoms, I would say. And so some of the artists also used those materials that they came with. Linda Marcus's dress is made of the painted instructional paper. She made a raincoat out of the actual condoms. And she did another component of that with the suede packaging as well.
Right, and the buttons too, I think.
And the buttons that there was a affix button to the packaging.
Right, that this little pouch had a button on it too.
Yes.
And I was also really impressed with not just the numbers of artists that were involved, but who was involved. There's some really interesting folks here.
Right. And it's a good representation of local artists, too, some of whom are showing for the first time in a fine arts context. But I think that's kind of part of the magic of working in Milwaukee's art scene right now.
Do you think that this is the kind of thing that is likely to keep happening?
You know, I think it's one of those things where I don't want to say serendipitous, but it's many things fell into place at the right time. And, it all just happened. You know, World AIDS Day happened to be the greatest time that they could present this exhibit about sexual health. I think a lot of things just fell into place. But you'll have to ask Nikki about that.
We will, because she's next.
Yeah.
Great. So how long is the exhibit on view?
I believe it's a week.
So a very short time. There's not a lot of time to see this.
Yes, you'll want to go see it. You'll want to go see it as soon as it opens. And it's in a new venue space.
Yeah, that's the other cool part about this.
Yes, in the Fortress building. There are some other artist studios in there. It's another one of those kind of wacky buildings that you don't hear about often, but there are some amazing things happening within it. Anyways, it's a new space. It was formerly Quasimodo Theater, and one of Nikki Johnson's friends took over the lease and has cleaned it up, painted it, refurbished some things, and I think it's going to be a really cool space for future art.
Ongoing things.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, Claire, for coming over and telling us about this. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Claire Hannon is associate editor at Milwaukee Magazine. Her article on Nikki Johnson is in the December issue.
And we're joined now by the Preservatif curator herself, Nikki Johnson. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Tell me about this exhibition.
I was donated 1.2 million condoms from a distribution company in South Dakota in the fall of last year. When I received the email, I wasn't quite sure if I should accept it because I wasn't, you know, I had one piece that really kind of put me on the map as an artist that was made out of condoms. It was the only work I had made out of condoms. And I hadn't really intended to work in the material again anytime soon. But then I got this email. And I thought about it and thought, well, you know, this is a really rare opportunity to be offered 21,000 pounds or 10.5 tons or one full semi. There's different ways to think about it, which is essentially 26 pallets that measure 4 by 4 by 8 feet tall. And they were just going to ship them across the country to me.
And they were a donation to you.
They were. And it was a French company by the name of the Original Condom Company. I researched them after I was offered this, and it looked like there was a splash. Esquire had articles about them, various magazines from around the country. And what I thought was the most fascinating thing about this condom in particular was that they came in these little sexy black suede snap cases. Like there was a way you could make sex sexier than sex by packaging it somehow. Anyway, really, you know, really kind of elaborate and amazing. So I decided I would accept the shipment. And the thought process that went behind that was really not so much that I wanted to take on the world or become the Tara Donovan of rubbers. More so, it was that I realized that there was an opportunity to broaden the conversation beyond the piece that had really kind of kickstarted my career right out of grad school. So I put out a call to artists, and I asked 35 artists that I knew from across the country if they would send in a proposal to me. And out of that 35, I accepted 22 proposals that I thought handled the material in a generative and thought-provoking way. Now, the people in this show range from sculptors to photographers, ceramicists, performance artists, film. See, I know I'm skipping a few, jewelry. It was just amazing.
You've got fashion?
There's one.
Okay.
There's one person who's in fashion in the show. And oftentimes when people think condom art, they think fashion show, which is a fabulous thing that, you know, that artists have been working with this material in particular for years. But this show, what's happening that's quite different is that we're just kind of exploring it and pushing it as far as possible. And that was really important to me when I was looking at the types of proposals that were coming in.
So now these are, I assume, male condoms, not female condoms.
They are male condoms, and they are French. And that has to do with the title of the show is Preservatif, which is condom in French. So They're all the same color. They're all lubricated. They're non-spermicidal, which is great because it's less aromatic when you're working with them. And when you're working with thousands of them, that is something to
consider.
Millions
of them.
Well, yeah. Yes. I mean, well, each artist – I don't think anybody – you know, well, there were 1.2 million, so nobody really got up to that number individually. But definitely, I mean, my piece is made of thousands.
So when you were actually working with them, taking them out of the package that they were so neatly put into, did you have to clean them? I mean, these are made for a very different use than what you were using them for, any of you for that matter.
Well, sure. And the packaging has become part of some of the artist's pieces. I mean, that's suede. How can you say no? You know, you can pull it off the boxes, cut it apart. So really what we were doing outside of reimagining latex is we were taking – as a group, what was headed straight for a landfill and giving it another life. In fact, taking them out of the wrappers, almost all of the wrappers that were used were recycled by the artists. We worked directly with Diverse and Resilient. We had two large-scale condom unwrap parties, and there were volunteers and people from all over Milwaukee who came in. We did two sessions. They were 2 hours long each. In the total of 4 hours, we worked with 50 people and we unwrapped 40,000 condoms for the artists to use. So, you know, people became competitive. It was really fun, you know, and who would have thought, you know, when do you have the opportunity to just touch them, to laugh around oftentimes what is a really kind of serious moment. And then also there's nothing that takes away the taboo or the stigma of a condom than to, unwrap thousands of them at once. You know, you start to look at them quite differently when they're in such number.
When you were actually working on pieces and stuff, I know some of these pieces are collaborative, people working. Did you find that you were all regressing to 14-year-olds?
I mean, it's hard. You really have to watch your language because, like, certain phrases.
Everything's a double entendre.
Right, yeah, yeah. Like, there you go, you know. So there is something really kind of fun about that. But I am the Pfister Artist in Residence. And one of the wonderful things about that program is how flexible they are with the artists. And though I came in with a very different proposal, this project was already in the works. You know, it started over a year ago that I received that donation. And I had let them know that this was going to be happening. And I wasn't quite sure how much work I was going to need to do at home. What's been wonderful is that the Pfister has allowed me to work in my studio openly with the material. Now, of course, this sort of conversation, if very young people come in, usually their parents are there, and, you know, then the conversation is really about latex or, you know, we don't get into the nitty-gritty. It wouldn't be appropriate. But the great thing is that I've been able to work on this project at the same time in tandem with the proposal that I have going on there. When you talk about people coming in and being, you know, faced with the material one-on-one, what happens is before they recognize what they're looking at, by and large, people come straight in and they want to touch it. I made a latch hook rug out of, or it's a bearskin rug out of condoms, working with my interns. It's been a massive undertaking, many, many hours. And people will walk straight in and just want to comb the rug with their fingers. And sometimes they do, and they ask what it is, and you tell them. I would say about half the time, people laugh and have a, you know, like, oh man, that is so great. And sometimes you watch, or I've watched people recoil.
And, try to wipe their hands.
Or just be, you know, I haven't seen a lot of like straight shock, but I definitely have seen people kind of be taken aback. And there is a way of approaching the language around this show or even the artwork itself that helps with a sort of unfolding so that people know how to approach it, because condoms do kind of exist in that private space for most people. And to make it so public and so open can be a bit shocking. So usually when people come into our or into my studio, I start the conversation by letting them know that we are there's going to be a benefit helping people live with HIV/AIDS. I talk about the organizations that are supporting us, Planned Parenthood, Diverse and Resilient, and AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin. And then I talk about the material itself, about this incredible donation and moving it away from the landfill into a sort of dynamic way of reconsidering how it is that we understand our own sexuality and the material itself.
Do you find that most people respond well to that? Have you had anybody still not want to hear anything more about it?
I heard one person complained at the front desk. But if you consider the hundreds of people that have been coming through over the past month, month and a half, that this project has really kind of taken center stage, no, not at all. In fact, there's been an incredible amount of praise, individual donors stepping up, people trying to figure out how their organization can get involved. So, far and away, this has been an extremely positive.
This has got a very serious cause behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying very hard to bring attention to people who are living with a disease, trying to get people to think more lightheartedly maybe about their sexuality.
I would say sex positive.
Sex positive, yeah.
You know,
yeah, without it being prurient.
Yeah. I mean, one of the wonderful things is that Diverse and Resilient has given me like an unlimited supply of their condom packs. And so I have condoms on hand, but like little, you know, over little packages in a fishbowl. It just says, enjoy your stay, you know, and you think about hotels. It's a good thing to support. I mean, it's a good thing to support in any environment. But to make it open, I think that that is one of the most important ways to ensure that people don't take risks that are unnecessary.
So once the week wraps up here, is there an idea that this will travel?
We have thought about that. In fact, part of the way or how we've accepted the work for the show is that it had to be work that could be documented and then moved. And it would have to function in the same way. So that's why we steered away from performance that wasn't filmed. So we are producing a catalog that goes with this, and we are absolutely looking for venues and other cities that would like to take this. We have a couple things potentially in the works, but it's a little early to be talking about that right now.
Well, good luck
with
that. And best of luck tonight. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us today. I so appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Nikki Johnson is the current Pfister Artist in Residence. She and Kim Hindman, who's based in Colorado, are the curators of the Preservatif exhibition. It opens today at the Fortress, which is part of the former Schlitz Brewing Complex in Brewers Hill. You have a week to see how 22 artists use some of the 1.2 million condoms donated to Johnson last year to create a conversation around intimacy, sexuality, and humor.
One last break, and then we'll return with cellist Robert Cohen and the next installment of our regular series. On that note, stay tuned. Lake Effect will be right back.